Amen. I pray you've been blessed already today. Amen. You sense his presence, right? Shout Jesus from the mountains. Amen. It's Jesus Christ. He is the reason that we're here. It is because of what he has done 2,000 years ago. I'm in the midst of people who actually believe that he rose from the dead. He walked out of a grave. Amen. Our God walked out of a grave, and that's why we have confidence in what we do and what we speak. Hey, I just want to take a moment first and just, I want to thank all those that last weekend served in a couple of the outreach. We had a couple outreaches. This is not everybody that served, because this was Friday night in Brighton Heights. I'm sorry, Saturday night in Brighton Heights, and Sunday we were also in Avalon. Friday night was absolutely gorgeous weather. Sunday in Avalon, it was like a hailstorm from hell, but thank you. So I just want to thank you. Again, people were making that a priority to get out and say, look, we're here to represent Jesus Christ and to love these people. And again, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you, right? And that's what we're looking to do in these moments in time, right? That's the point. That's what we want to do. So thank you. Thank you to all those that made that a priority and made that happen. Okay, and just in line with that, Joel, just give me that Christmas candlelight slide there. And again, on the 23rd, Saturday the 23rd, Christmas Eve, we're gathering here for an annual candlelight meeting, candlelight service. And again, it's a one-hour service. We want you to be there. We want to remember who Jesus was in a very specific way. Yes, we are meeting the following day. We're going to ask you to come to church 2 days in a row. Whew, man, imagine that. Okay. And we're going to take offerings both days. So hallelujah, okay? That should make you excited because we love to give. But the point being, people are very open to hear invitation at this time. They're more open than other times of the year. And we encourage you to invite people to the candlelight. Okay, it's a time where, again, we're going to reflect upon him. We're going to worship God, have a very short message. But this is an opportunity for you to do that. There are cards on seats in places and back at Connection Point. Okay, so I want you to be aware of that. We always want to be aware, as Ryan had shared in that little exhortation he had at the end of worship, that, again, we want to love people. You know, it's the love of God that sets us apart. Amen. So you inviting them is an act of love. Act of love. Quit thinking, you know, in our minds, we get this lie like we're worried people think we're manipulating them. What are you talking about? I'm trying to save you. It's an act of love. Somebody took a risk and shared with you one time. Right? Right? And you, some of you were the person that they said, they'll never come to faith. Right? But here you are. Right? So he said, so again, let's be open. Let's be open to what God wants to do. Let's be open to what he wants to speak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. Joel, give me chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. We're starting a Christmas series today. And I'm just going to just read this verse. Many of you are familiar with it. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." That was the proclamation of the angels when they appeared to these shepherds in a field. Now, we're going to be backing up on that in a moment. Just want to consider and appreciate and begin to remember that God came to give you peace. He came for peace. And not just, you know, like the world peace that everybody always says we want. It's better than that. It's talking about a peace in your soul. How about a peace of mind? A peace of mind. But I also want you to catch, just give me that scripture one more time, Joel. Just to catch in here. I want you to see it says these angels were there, but it says they were joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven. The armies of heaven. In other words, this is like the heavenly army of God. All right? And what are they saying? They're not saying, like the Romans, get in line or die. All right, or get in line or get thrown in prison. This army is proclaiming glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. You know, invading armies in the first century never said peace on earth, right? No, they came to rule you with an iron hand. But here is the armies of heaven, and what's their proclamation? Peace on earth. See, God came to win peace of mind for you and I. And one thing I appreciate every day of my life is that I can have peace of mind, right? Because, you know, for many of us, my mind never stops. You know, some people, you ask them what they're thinking, they say nothing. right? That's not me. There's always something turning. There's my mind doesn't stop. It races. And usually I think it's a good thing. Usually, right? Depends what's falling out of my mouth at the time, I guess, right? But my mind runs. It races. It races. And I you know, I have my to-do list, and as I check things on, I have satisfaction. I do. I have satisfaction for about 4 minutes. And then I'm thinking of the next thing. What's the next thing that has to be done? I can even do this when I'm supposed to be on vacation. Okay, but what's the next thing to be done? My mind will not stop. You know, again, even my own communion with God, my own private time with God when I'm magnifying him, right? I fight it becoming something I have to do. Okay, all right, I got up, I read my required half chapter. I took a couple notes, put that one down. Okay, I got it done. And then I'm looking at the next thing. I'm looking at the next thing. What's the next thing? Well, the next thing could be, geez, I got to call my insurance agent, and then I got to call my accountant for the business again, and they want me to call my financial advisor to get this straight, and then there's two customers I haven't called. Geez, our contact in Liberia, Pastor Sidney Thomas, he called. I forgot to call him back. I spend time thinking about what did I forget to write down. Because my mind doesn't stop. It continues to run. I got a meeting today, 5 a.m., 6:30, 7:30, 9:30, and 2. Okay, and from noon to 2, I'm going to work on the message for Sunday. It doesn't stop. And when I see that there's this promise of God of peace of mind. Peace of mind. God wants to give us peace. Now, he doesn't take things off the schedule. He just wants to give us peace. See, could it be we're praying the wrong thing? So we keep praying for God to deliver us from our trouble. Maybe he's saying, will you just invite me into it? Amen. And I'll give you peace in the middle of this struggle, right? And that's what we want to talk about today. God longs to give you peace. And can any of you relate to my picture?
Yes.
Huh? Right? Yes. Amen. Amen. Do we have any people here that can think about nothing? Yeah. Yeah, we got some men that can do that. Us men get accused of that. I think that's a gift. I think you got a gift. I don't have that gift. But, you know, I mean, we see Peter wrote, he said, cast your cares upon God because he cares for you. And I say, amen. And I check that one off, and I start worried about the next thing. Right? And so there's this anxiety that attacks us. And I believe, really, listen, the prophetic words today, those words of exhortation are all referring to that very thing. Will we trust God? Can we have peace? God promised you peace. He says, this is available to you. You can have this. And see, many of us, I believe, we deceive ourselves. We think we have peace because I pray it. You know, we pray for 30 seconds, worry for 30 minutes. We pray another 30 seconds. Worry another 30 minutes trying to figure it out. See, the Father's saying, no, look, there is a promise from the angels appearing in that field. We see the declaration that this king came to give you peace of mind. Just breathe that in for a moment, just that reality. God's saying, you can have peace. You know all those things running through your mind right now, the things you have to do and the things you forgot to do and the problem you're trying to put off facing? He's saying, I can give you peace today. Peace today. You can have that today. And just so you know too, again, this is a divine setup. We're going to offer prayer at the end of this message specifically for peace of mind, that you can grab the promise of God and you don't have to live in worry and anxiety and fear. Yes, yes. And fear. Because a lot of that is, it's all under the umbrella of fear. We're fearful. We're fearful of what may happen. So again, for me, I need that peace of mind. That's what God intends for us. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift that Jesus is. God, we thank you that you've made so clear that you long to give us peace. Help me just paint this picture in these next few moments. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen. You know, one thing I appreciate about this book is it's so raw. It's so raw. We don't see people succeeding all the time. Okay, we see people struggling with their faith, struggling with what they're going to trust, right? Again, we say we trust, but then we rely on ourselves. That's what constantly happens. And so this book paints a picture of people just like you and me, right? Aren't you thankful, right? If God can use them, He can use me. He can use me. So, and again, so there are people caught up in the same whirlwind as us. Now, again, just to catch, let's catch what was going on when Jesus came to earth, when those angels appeared in the sky that day. It was first century Jerusalem, and Bethlehem was only like 5.5 miles from Jerusalem. It was. It still is only 5.5 miles from Jerusalem. It hasn't changed. But the culture, what was it really like? And in many ways, honestly, it was like a third world dictatorship under Roman rule at that time. I mean, 10% of the people would be born into nobility in Jerusalem for the Jews at that time. The other 90%, they just tried to survive. They just tried to survive. And of course, that's where Joseph and Mary found themselves. There was a really tense relationship. It was a confrontational relationship that existed between the farmers, the craftsmen, the retailers, and the Jewish leaders, the leaders of the Jews, and King Herod, who was the Romans' puppet Jewish king over them, and of course the Roman government. Okay, it was not a good time. There was not much hope that people had. There was not a lot of hope for your children in this age, much like the third world where many of us have traveled. And of course, they also had this ruling religious class that were very oppressive on the people. So it's in this place that we see that Jesus came. And you know, that's just appreciate, because again, I want you to catch, God cares for you in your lowest place. That's the point here, in your lowest place. Who did he come to be the Virgin Mother? Did he pick the daughter of a priest or a Pharisee? No. He went to a remote village and found a teenage girl. She did not come from even a priestly tribe, right? And so he finds this teenage girl, a poor girl, and he appears to her and says, "You're going to have a child. Okay, you're gonna have a child, and you're not gonna know a man." Wow, that's pretty wild, right? Took faith to believe that. Now, then it says that he appeared to Joseph, because he had to tell Joseph that the unbelievable story that your fiance told you is true. Because you or I would not believe her. Yeah, right, an angel told you that. So, and again, but Joseph, he's a working man. He's a survivor. He's a carpenter. And of course, they had to travel 100 miles. We know the story from Nazareth, their hometown. They had to go back to Bethlehem, which is where Joseph's family was from. And really, this was all an IRS deal. They had to go back because of taxes. Okay, the Roman government wanted to know how many people were there, and they wanted to know how much money to get. Okay, so they were driven there really by the IRS. Okay, it was by the Internal Revenue Service that you have to return. And so here's Joseph, married from this lower class caste of people. And these are the ones that God is using in this moment. And then, of course, they're in Bethlehem, and then we catch up to the story on the shepherds. Let's back up to verses 8 to 11 in chapter 2. It says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David.'" So who does Jesus tell first? Shepherds. And again, you have to do a little bit of research just to catch how lowly shepherds were on the economic and social totem pole. Now, it used to be a few hundred years before this that shepherds were highly thought of, right? David was a shepherd, right? And again, shepherds were highly thought of. But after the Jews were taken into captivity in Egypt for 400 years, right? They were slaves. Well, they took on the customs of the Egyptians. The Egyptians hated shepherds. Okay, they weren't into sheep. And it really, the Jews accepted these customs. And the religious leaders maligned shepherds. They maligned shepherds. The religious leaders decided that only sheep and goats could only be raised on the desert plains. Like you could only have sheep and goats in certain areas. Okay, and also a shepherd his word was not good in court. Okay, they were considered incompetent. The Mishnah, which is the Mishnah, is what Let me try that again. I'll try it on this side. Okay, the Mishnah is the written out oral law of the Pharisees, of the Jews. Okay, remember they had all kind of laws. They had all these extra laws. Well, this is their written out law. Well, in their written law, they said that no Jew should feel obligated to pull a shepherd out of a pit if they fall into it. But listen, the point is, they were the lowest of the low. Who's on the divine mailing list of Jesus coming? Shepherds, the lowest. See, so if you're here today and you're saying, man, I'd love to have that peace, I just never have known it. Or man, I'd love to have that peace, but you know, I don't deserve it because I've blown it so many times. Jesus came for the lowest. And he proclaimed peace, not at the top of the pyramid, but at the bottom. And he proclaims peace to you this morning. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what fear it is or what guilt and condemnation you're under. He came to bring peace. And he came to the lowly first. First. Consider this, just this whole thing about shepherds. This has nothing to do with the message. Just really cool. And just think about how the Jews thought about shepherds. Like they, no respect at all. And then Jesus comes up and calls himself what? The good. Yeah, just no extra charge. One of the things I appreciate, and I think many of us do, is that Jesus bucked the religious system. Right? He bucked the religious system. I mean, he was into popping their buttons. You know, so him using that good shepherd, he knew shepherds were despised. Jesus said, well, the Messiah is the good shepherd. Oh, I just love it. Okay. Let's get back on point. Okay. God made his move to save mankind. He came for the broken. He used the needy. And he entered the world in a manger. And it's this next verse. How will they know this Messiah when they go looking for him? You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. A manger is not a building. A manger is what animals eat out of. That means that Jesus was lying basically in a trough, and I'm certainly they lined it with something like any mother would, but that's what it was. I mean, he was laid in a manger, and who would announce a king? Who would say this is a king coming and announcing it to shepherds, and the king is in a manger, in a horse's trough, right? See, God's plan and God's look at mankind is completely different than yours and mine. Completely different, and I'm still. I feel like every few months, God continues to show me how he cares and loves the lowest, the hurting, those hurting most of all. So God's first priority is to relate, restore, to elevate, to bring peace to the most broken, the most anxious, the most hurting people in all the world. And he came to proclaim peace, peace of mind. You can have peace in the midst of your craziness. Is that good news or what? Yeah. Amen. Let's just look at that. Let's go to verse 13 again. I'm not going to read it. We already read it. But I just want you to see here that the angel armies, the armies of heaven, were saying peace. God is bringing peace. And what is this word peace? That next slide, just peace. What's it mean? It's a state of rest. A state of rest. See, peace isn't just momentary. But again, it's a state of rest, well-being. To join together into a whole, wholeness. All the essential parts are joined together. Obviously in a harmonious relationship with God. See, peace is all encompassing. You know, when Jews greet one another with Shabbat Shalom, they're saying complete peace, total peace. It's not just peace today. We're not just peace, you're not arguing with your spouse. It's complete and total peace. It's a wholeness. And they're saying peace on earth. You can be whole. There's a wholeness available. Right? That's what's available for you and I. See, that is the good news. Yeah. He's not coming to judge. This army is not coming with a rod. This army is coming with a proclamation of good. And the first thing he wants to do is minister to the most hurting, right? And the most needy. That is his desire. That's the desire of your God. That's the one we serve. Amen? Man. And so it said, let's just look real quickly here. Just jump down to Isaiah 9:6. I just want you to see this in the Old Testament. This might have been read in prayer this morning. I think it was read in prayer this morning. I don't think it was read during our time here in worship. Also, again, we do meet for prayer here at 8 a.m. If you'd want to come and join us, just praying for what's going on Sunday and however God leads us. We do meet here at 8 a.m. every Sunday. So let's just look at this. Okay, this was 700 years before Jesus was born. This is one of the prophecies that proves he was the Messiah. It says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of course, this is Shalom, as we already mentioned. This is the Hebrew equivalent to the Greek word, Eirene. Again, meaning complete peace, wholeness. But what I want you to focus on here is Prince of Peace. Because the prince denotes authority. In other words, he's like the official authority of peace. Like many things promise peace of mind. All right, some people go to the bar to find peace of mind. Some people take a drug for a promise of peace of mind. See, but there's only one official voice of peace. Like, kind of like the official ketchup of the Pittsburgh Steelers or some insane thing. This is the official one who can issue peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince, right? And so when we worship, when we're praying, like, God, we serve the Prince of Peace. Is that good news? That's the God we serve. He's official. He's official here. So I'm appreciative of these things. And let's face it, man, peace of mind is priceless. The other thing about peace of mind is it's attractional. You know, when you're around somebody filled with peace, they have confidence. Yes. They're not rattled. Yes. Yeah, because everybody has trouble. Yes. You know, if you're around somebody, it's like, man, this person's never rattled. Well, it doesn't mean they don't have trouble. Okay, no, they have issues. They got stresses. They have all those things. But there's something attractional because there's a confidence in somebody that walks in peace. And that's another, attractional means it attracts people. I want to be around people who are confident in life, who aren't rattled by life. Right, that's attractional to us. And he'll give you peace in your lowest place. Now, of course, what we want to know is how do we get it? How do I get it? Or how do I keep it? Many of us, we experience it, but I can't hold on to it. Right? It has a tendency to escape me, doesn't it? Right? It escapes us. So how are we going to get there? Well, we're going to take just a couple of minutes on this, and we're going to get to prayer. This is Matthew chapter 5, and this is the beginning of the Beatitudes. And you've never seen it written this way because this is the North Side version of Matthew 5:3. Okay. All right. It says, God blesses those who humbly admit their absolute need of him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Okay. See, God blesses those. He keeps those. Your Bible may say poor in spirit. Poor in spirit is saying, we recognize I have nothing to offer. I'm desperate for God. Okay, so God blesses those who humbly admit their absolute need for God. Now, see, here's the thing. We do admit it, but we don't believe it. You see, then we go back and take care of things on our own. We fight for things on our own. And so it said, so God's saying, look, you want peace? You have to humbly admit you are desperate for him to be in control. Okay, the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. How do you find that peace of mind? It takes humility. It takes humility to admit, I can't do it, say. It takes vulnerability and transparency. Because, you know, in vulnerability and transparency, that's pretty easy for me to do with God. I can be vulnerable with God. I don't want to be vulnerable with you, but I can be transparent with God. And I believe a lot of us, look, we struggle with peace and keeping peace because we're not vulnerable with one another. We're not humble with one another. We're not admitting, hey, I need to be on God. I need to tell people I am desperate for God in this situation. And I am going to be vulnerable and I'm going to be transparent. Because I am going to declare my absolute need of God. All right? Again, and so if we're going to walk in this peace, this promised peace, it takes humility, And it takes transparency, humility and transparency. I have a need. I have a need. And I believe peace is found by blatant, obvious, blunt, honest profession of my need for God. I want peace. Yes, there's a promise of peace. The Prince of Peace says he gives this to me. He says he cares for me, but I've got to believe it. And the way I believe it is saying, okay, I'm going to stop picking up the battle on my own. I'm going to stop trying to figure this out on my own. I am going to trust God. I'm going to trust it. I want to admit bluntly, I need you. I need you. I want to walk in your peace. I want to walk. You know, the good thing about this message is you can practice it right now, because everyone in here has things you're worried about. You have things that are on your mind, right? I know that because the Bible says you do. So that's not really prophetic, okay? But you got to be honest with yourself. You know, see, what happens when we're dealing with our stuff, which we all are, we have to ask myself, am I really trusting God? We say it, but then we run right back and try to figure out on our own. And that's where that vulnerability and transparency comes, where I need to talk to Doug and say, Doug, look, I am struggling with this, man. I keep picking this up and carrying it. Pray for me. Yeah. I want the promise of peace in my life. Yeah. I want peace of mind. Yeah. I'm tired of being pushed around by my thoughts and my emotions when he promises something better for me. Man, you know, he's God with us, correct? He's God with us. He's Emmanuel. Here's one of the things. Joel, go to that slide 10. It's not my self-sufficiency. Right? This is what you have to remember. It's not your self-sufficiency that pleases God. It's your brokenness. See, because for me to really allow God in, I got to be broken. That humility, I got to be broken. You're not going to get an award for being self-sufficient when you go to heaven. You know, he's not going to give you an award because, oh, I never asked for help from anybody. He's going to say, you were a fool. You did it all on your own. What a fool, right? So again, God's looking for dependence, because dependence speaks of the need for faith. Isaiah 26:3. And we're going to be preparing here to pray in a moment. And again, this is a scripture. If it's not underlined in your Bible, it should be now. Highlighted in your phone, whatever you do. Okay. And this is what Isaiah was speaking. He says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Okay, again, what's it mean to keep? God says, I will guard you. I will watch over you. Okay, I'm going to watch over. He's going to guard. Think about that. It's like I'm going to guard Aaron. You know, I'm watching. No one's going to get to Aaron unless they go through me. That's what God is speaking here. He says, I will guard you. How many would like that in your mind? Especially with the twisted thoughts that go through there, right? He said, this is what I'm looking for. Then trust. I mean, you have to have faith. You got to trust. I got to be God, my confidence is in you alone. That is what I'm standing on. I'm going to trust you. And fixed, whose thoughts are fixed on you. Again, not double-minded. Because so often we're double-minded, right? Our minds, I believe God one minute, not the next. We're so much like the man in the Gospels who told Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. See, but that should be a prayer you have every day. See, God longs to give you perfect peace. Perfect peace. Because I want you to catch that here where it says perfect peace. That actually reads, it's the same word in the Hebrew. It's shalom. It's shalom, shalom. But to try to help us Westerners understand it, they interpreted perfect peace. Because really it's peace. Double peace. Right? Again, he's saying it's yours. You can have peace of mind. It's a promise of God. Who wants it? Right? Who desires it? He wants to give it. Okay, this is what he desires, and that peace is while you're waiting, right? Because you're in a trial, you're in a storm. Okay, he said, look, will you trust me? It's kind of like, you know, if you got up in the morning and you forgot to turn the heat on at the beginning of the season and it was like 52 degrees and you turn on the thermostat but you have to wait, but you know you have great faith that the temperature is going to rise. You have great faith. You need that type of faith when it comes to the peace of God. I will give you peace. I will give you peace. Can I have the prayer teams come forward, please? And listen, right now, just where you're at, I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. I just want you to do some business just right where you are in a moment. And I'm asking you to close your eyes because it helps you focus. It just helps you focus. Helps you focus on God. And God, we just want to be those who hear what you're speaking. You say you will keep a person in perfect peace. Perfect. Absolute peace of mind. Now, I want you to lift to God what you're worried about. What is it that's on your mind? What is it that troubles you? For some of us, it's a relationship, and it's a close relationship. For some of us, you can't forgive yourself from things you've done in the past. For some of us, as was spoken in exhortation earlier, your concern is that you can't be perfect. For some of you, it's flat out money. I'm worried. God says, I want to give you peace. Peace of mind. Peace of mind. And what I'm going to do right now is, again, we're going to do a song. But again, you want peace of mind? Come forward. Come forward, ask for prayer. Just say, God, I need peace. I'm looking for peace. I want it. I'm tired of being robbed. You can have that. You don't see, this is something you can have today. Today you can begin to walk in this reality. So Father God, right now, Lord, just speak to hearts, Lord, even as people are in here in this very moment, family members, so many I know and I love. God, we would not be people who say, oh, I'm just going to keep fighting on my own. I'm going to keep fighting on my own. I know the answer. I'm going to keep fighting. There's a vulnerability and transparency that leads to freedom. Getting somebody to pray for you. So I encourage you right now, Aaron's going to lead us in a song. Let's come forward. If that's you, say, just come and say, I need prayer. I'm looking for the peace of God in every situation in my life. Come forward now.